Hi, this is Hudson Mohawk Radio, and this is Catherine Gallagher speaking. And I'm joined here today with the Democratic candidate for Senate District 49, Teresa McCallman. Hi, Teresa, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So I had just a few questions on your race against Republican incumbent Senator Jim Todisco. So what made you want to run for this office? Like, was there any one particular event?
I guess we could start with my last race. And when I was running for mayor in Schenectady, New York, Assemblymember Phil Steck, he said to me, he said, Teresa, you know, your platform, what you're fighting for and what you're saying needs to change and needs to happen within the city of Schenectady. He said, it's not a municipal level issue. He said, it's a funding issue. And he said, it's actually on a state level. And he said, I think you would do better running for Senate. And I said, nah, I'll be too far away from the problem. I need to be closer to ground zero. I need to be here in the community, completely accessible, so I can really see what's going on every day and be able to make things better and be more effective. And he said, I'm telling you, I think, he says, your issues are not wrong. It's correct. Just it's on a funding level. I didn't hear him because I was very committed to doing the fight that I was doing for community as trying to become their mayor. So when I lost by only 100 points, I said, okay, obviously the people are hearing the message and it's their message and they agree. So how can I continue to fight? And again, Phil Steck, assembly member, and other senators that I used to work with when I was a Senate intern, also said, Teresa, you should run for Senate. And I was like, that was never really my goal. My goal was just to be as effective as possible for the people in my community. So I went to my team and I asked them, I don't want to stop fighting. So how can I do this? Should I wait a couple more years and try again for mayor? And in the meantime, continue my community advocacy, being there, showing up and doing the work, you know, that our current establishment is not doing. And they said, no, you should do what everyone's been telling you to do, run for Senate. And I had to think about it because I was like, but I felt like it was just so far away from the actual issues. And then it broadens the reach all the way to like Herkimer County, Hamilton, Fulton. But I've worked those districts before and I met with those same people. And I said, well, this must be meant to be because I worked those districts. I know them already when I was campaign manager for Patrick Nelson in New York 21. And I said, oh, okay, so I've already been to these places. I know the people. I know their issues. This makes sense. And I mean, it was more complicated than that, but we only have a few minutes. But it's pretty much the progression that happened. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do this first and then I'm going to go for that. When I focus on doing something and getting the job done, that's like what I see. I get that tunnel vision and that's all I see and that's all I do. So when I was running for mayor, I just couldn't see the possibilities of running for Senate because it wasn't part of the plan. But then everyone was like, you could be more effective on a state funding level. And it made sense to me because then I can make sure that not only just Schenectady, but the other towns and villages and municipalities that I want to represent get the funding they need for the things that they need in their part of the district.
So our incumbent for Senate District 49 is Republican Senator Jim Todisco. What do you think you bring to the election that sets you apart from him?
I'll tell you a story. So as you know, I am endorsed by Andrew Yang. So Andrew Yang is for universal basic income, and he has a whole bunch of pilot programs going on around the country. So when he ran for president, this was one of his top issues and solutions to solve economic issues throughout the country. So my press guy says, you should really look into Yang. And I was like, yeah, I heard he's awesome. And he's like, no. Your campaign lines up so much with him, you should look into getting an endorsement from his organization, Humanity Forward. So I said, okay. One day we reached out to them and said we would like endorsement. The next day they called, we had an interview. The next day, Andrew Yang calls me personally and he goes, I want to hear your story. And so we began to talk and he goes, wait a minute. And I can hear him like typing. He must be looking up things that I'm saying. And he goes, this guy and you are the complete opposites in every way, every single way. We are completely opposite. I am all about the community, the people, and this is everyone in the community, not certain organizations, not certain groups of people or, you know, certain communities. I am like for everyone. And he's like, he's totally opposite. So he's corporate, he's party player. He is very extremely conservative, can't see outside the box and see other people who don't look like him and think like him and, you know, live like him and speak like him. It's mostly his privileged white male view. And I understand, you know, he's an older man and, you know, not all older white men are like this, but he just falls into that stereotype of that white male privilege. And he just can't seem to get past it. And a lot of people have told me that when I've spoken to him about current 21st century issues, it's like he just doesn't get it. He doesn't hear. He goes, oh, why don't you just do this? But the old way of doing things doesn't work anymore. You know, that saying, what's good for the goose is not always good for the gander. So Yang saw that and he said, wow, you're completely the opposite. So when people ask me what sets you apart from Mr. Tedisco, I say everything. I mean, if Yang can see that plainly and clearly, that my campaign is people-centered, it's all about uplifting our community, making sure that everybody has access to everything that they need to just live on a basic human level. And this will not cost us anything. Just pay attention to your community and the people and the voices, and everything will eventually get better. You have goals, of course, but you have to start somewhere. And why not start where the people are and with the people? Because they're our foundation. And we saw that during this COVID, right? They're our foundation. Support the people and we will live better. As simple as that. It's politics that he chooses over people. And I refuse to choose politics or party playing nonsense over people. With me, always the people first.
Absolutely. I mean, your slogan is New York for all. It says it right there.
Period.
So speaking of Andrew Yang, I learned for the first time with his endorsement that his hometown was Schenectady, New York. So he, like you said, has endorsed you for state senator. Can you talk about a proposal for universal basic income?
I was on a call with some college students and a few of them were economic students. I would say pre-COVID, it was hard to grasp and understand UBI and not see it as another welfare program because that's not what it is, right? So they were like, why not guarantee jobs for all? Just make sure that there's jobs for all. Now, we've been doing that since the beginning of time. We have always tried to make sure that everyone has access to work, but at least most recently, we've been trying to make employment as fair and accessible as possible. And I said, we have to look at it, like I said, as an accessibility issue. We can have jobs available for everyone from age 14 up to 400. We can have these jobs, but will everyone be able to access it on an equal footing? And we know the answer is no, because everybody has different abilities. And will everyone be able to work? And we know the answer to that. No. So what do we do for the people who cannot work or do not have access to traditional types of employment? And also, we have to look at it this way. We can have that access and we can have non-traditional access to employment like we do now because of COVID, people having to go online and work from home on a computer, but not everyone has access to internet or reliable internet in order to get online to work from home. And not every job requires that you can stay home or allows, I should say, you to stay home. So it's actually more complicated to get everyone a job and make sure there's a job for everyone than it would be just to make sure that they have some type of financial security in the event that they are unable to work, period. And even if you have a job, you still get UBI. It's not welfare. It is a support system. And it wasn't made that much of a reality until this pandemic hit, and we all were reliant upon a stimulus check. So when people ask, what's a UBI? I go, guess what? We just had one. And we're sitting here waiting anxiously for our federal government to pass the next one. We've been waiting months for the next one because we saw just how much that extra stimulus money helped support us during the worst time in human record, right? And also that extra money when we were getting unemployment benefits. That helped so many people catch up on bills, less stress during an extremely stressful pandemic, still going. And it also helped our kids who were schooling from home to have lunch every day and eat. So it's just a supportive program. Once we have all the data from the pilot programs that Yang has instituted all over the country, including here in New York State and as close as Hudson, New York, where I used to call home, once we get that data back, I think it's going to prove exactly what I just said, that having that little bit of extra money, just having that every month as a backup, as a support, makes life less stressful, which means less abusive situations of domestic violence issues, less childhood hunger, more people being more productive. And that means if people are more productive, happier, and financially stable, that means small businesses, medium-sized businesses, big businesses, they're better because their employers are more productive, which means more revenue and more taxes are paid into New York State. And guess what? New York State gets out of this economic hole that we're in and we fare better. Doesn't that make sense? Like, you take care of the people, make sure they're supported inside and out and financially, and then everyone does better. I don't understand why that's an issue for people. And we just had a stimulus check. Some people sent it back. They didn't want it. Your prerogative. But guess what? Other people really need it. The majority of people needed that. And I can't wait to get the data back that proves that this actually works. And I think we'll be on a better footing once we institute it.
I wish you luck in your race. And I really appreciate you spending time talking to us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.